Triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Let us read. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter in, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord needs it." And they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that had seen, saying, "Where's your palms? Got them? Blessed is the King who comes into the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Love you. We thank you for this time of worship together. We thank you for all the many gifts that we see and witness here in this place and in the world around us and the ways in which you're at work. God, as we read this story once again, we're reminded of your humility and the ways in which you entered into town, not with power, but in love for the people and your desire for them to be that example of love to the world. And so, Lord, I say you speak through me and in spite of me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we would hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the Easter story is one that never gets old. We are starting Holy Week once again with this story of the palms. And in this story, we see a creative, risk-taking humility in the life of Jesus. He desired for his people to see this and to be, he was an example to them about the kind of kingship and kingdom that he represented. The story starts off with Jesus sending two of his disciples to go borrow a colt. Borrow. Kind of steal, but borrow. Borrow a valuable animal, a pristine, unbroken young colt was frowned upon and punished in first century Palestine as seriously as horse thieving was in the Old West. Jesus told his disciples to just go into the town and tell the owner that the Lord needs it. Even as I do believe the Lord speaks to us and encourages us in many different ways, I wouldn't recommend that you go do anything like this, stealing or anything like that, that's not right, and then just say, "Well, the Lord told me to." I don't know how that will function with the judge and on your police report. It's often ends in a bad result for you and for the Christian community as a whole. But in this case, it worked. No doubt our Lord had walked these streets many times. He knew the people. He knew the colt would be. He knew the owner, and he knew the names of probably the animals. He probably said to his friend, John, "Look, I'm going to need to borrow your colt during Passover. I'll send my disciples to get the animal at the right time." In this story, we see Jesus inviting people to actively join him on the resurrection story. 300 years before of Christ, most of the known world was under the control of the Greeks. Greece's Alexander the Great marched his armies across the territory after territory, conquering everything in sight. He was a warrior who controlled his troops by a war horse. The territory of Israel fell to him, as did many surrounding countries. Alexander came riding this dazzling brilliance, and he force-fed his Greek culture to the conquered Israelites. Earlier in the scriptures, we read the prophet Zechariah tell that there's another kind of rider who would come, one who would ride on a humble donkey. This, said Zechariah, is the way of the king, God's real king rides. Jesus and his disciples were observant, devout Jews who knew their scripture. His disciples knew the significance of their master riding a young colt that had never been ridden before into Jerusalem. It was a statement of kingship, of deliverance, of prophetic fulfillment. I'm sure Jesus had read these words or knew these words from the prophet Isaiah, and on Palm Sunday, he demonstrated how he interpreted the role of the Savior and Messiah. His victories in the world would not be won by force, but by humility and by patience, by service, by sacrifice, by reconciliation and peace. God moves into the streets to meet the people. By riding this colt, Jesus is letting the people know that what he brings is very different from what previous rulers have offered. And yet the crowds missed it. They were too busy calling for Jesus to save them that they had their ideas of what a savior would look like. Jesus comes not as a conqueror on a white horse, but in a world that shouts for power and prestige and wealth and worth and compromise and complacency. Jesus comes on a donkey. Sometimes we're busy. We move at a fast pace, and sometimes we find ourselves on war horses. And I think it's in need to slow down sometimes, and that we listen for Jesus moving about on a slow donkey. Sometimes I think we never see the humility that Jesus comes in because we're ground to pieces with the fast-paced wheels on which we run. Sometimes I think we miss Jesus because of his ordinary way of riding on a donkey is in such contrast with our concern for elegant and for supernatural. But sometimes when we do slow down and when we do encounter Jesus in the movement that he comes on a donkey, traveling at a speed that we can keep up with and understand, we then hear that God's call for us, God's real possibilities for our life is for anyone, it's for everyone, even people like you and me, people who are the least, last, and the lost. Bless you. Jesus arrives on a donkey. It's with great anticipation and expectation that Jesus' disciples decide to disrobe. They bare their arms and their back. They lay their cloaks, their garments on the floor, and creating this cushioned path for this skittish young animal bearing their master. The Savior had come to see out, and they had come out to see their master, who they thought was the long-awaited Messiah, laying down their cloaks and their leafy branches and shouting. They had heard the amazing stories about the feeding of the 5,000 with two fish, five small loaves. They had heard about Jesus' ability to heal, even raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. And until now, Jesus had kind of cautioned the people not to tell anyone what he was doing and who he was. But now, the week before the Passover, Jesus decides to enter into Jerusalem with full publicity, an act of glorious defiance and courage. He comes not with pomp and wealth, but as one who identified with the poor. You know, however, that Jesus is not the sort of Messiah that the crowds expect or want, but one who comes in peace, not in power. And within a week, acclamation will turn into humility and mockery. Palm Sunday will eventually lead to Good Friday. The honored Jesus is also the humiliated Jesus. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, will eventually turn into crucify this one who did not meet our expectations. Jesus comes, knowing what would happen, knowing what the people expected and that he wouldn't meet their expectation, but he comes, and he continues to come into our city, into our streets, into our homes. He shares with us our life, joys and sorrows, pain and death. God comes, not with military might or political power, not with violence, but God comes and saves us with compassion, with care, and with love. There's a poem for Palm Sunday, and let me read it to you. Says, Lord, what a parade. The crowd quickly grew. What noise they all made in welcoming you. Hosanna, they shouted, it's David's own son. Hosanna, come save us. God's reign has begun. Bless you. They welcomed you in, a conquering king. Yet what kind of reign would you really bring? It wasn't a war horse you rode on that day. A creature of peace you carried you on your way. Did those in the crowd expect something more than one who reached out in love to the poor? Did they think a savior with armies was best? Or did they remember the peaceful are blessed? Lord Jesus, it's true, we give you glad praise, yet living for you will challenge our ways. So may we open and welcome your reign. Hosanna, come save us. Renew us again. Friends, those who follow Jesus often don't know how or where or what may come, but we always know who, and we always know why. That God loves us, and that God has a desire to transform our life. We have to focus on the one who leads us, for the one who leads us knows the way and is the way. Our circumstances aren't the same, but our opportunity is. The truth of the crucified, resurrected Savior still moves in the world today, into the streets, and eventually moves us to the cross, into the grave, and out of the grave. And so we have a choice. We can stand on the sidelines. We can remain spectators. The world move by in warp speeds towards things that will never bring peace. Or we can, with Christ, step into the world, into our neighborhood, into the streets, and make a difference that brings world peace. Friends, may we be active participants in the gospel story. May we join with God as he moves about in our life. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time. We thank you for the ways in which you're at work in our life. We thank you for the ways in which you bring peace and humility, and how you're an example for us of what it means to put ourselves aside for a greater cause and a greater purpose. So Lord, as we move about this time, this week, and as we travel through this holy story once again, may you speak to us once more your solemn message of love, hope, and peace for our life today. We give you thanks. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.